It's 4:06, and you're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Veronica Rickard.
And I'm Cynthia Schuster, in this week for Rob Ferret. Coming up later in the show, we'll talk with a guest who says the federal government should partner with public universities and colleges to make the first 2 years of higher education free.
First, we're looking up to the skies with an editor at Astronomy Magazine. There's lots of exciting stuff happening in space this month and throughout the rest of the spring. One of those things happened last night. Maybe you saw it, the Blood Moon.
That's a lunar eclipse that makes the moon appear orange or red. Rich Talcott is here to let us know what we should stargaze for next. He's a senior editor at Astronomy Magazine. Rich, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you.
Let's start with last night's lunar eclipse, what people have been calling the blood moon. This type of lunar eclipse, is it rare, and why did we anticipate this one so much?
Well, the reason that we were excited about it is because we haven't had a total lunar eclipse in quite a while. The last one was in December 2011, so it's been more than 2 years since anyone on Earth actually has had a chance to see the moon pass through Earth's shadow. So it was exciting for that reason. It was also pretty cool because the weather around here was clear, which was a surprise after the weather we'd had the last couple of days. But we got to see a good view of it, and it turned out the moon was, I would say, more orangey than blood red last night. I think the name Blood Moon is probably a little bit of a misnomer. It doesn't usually turn that deep of a red color, but it's usually more orangey to maybe brick red.
Mm-hmm. Definitely dramatic, though, isn't it, to think about a blood moon? Have there been examples where the moon really has been a bright red?
Yeah, it does happen occasionally. Probably, I'm guessing maybe like 10% of the time during a total eclipse, it'll turn a color that's fairly close to blood anyway. But last night wasn't one of those cases.
And what makes that happen?
What we're seeing is actually the light from the sun that's passing through Earth's atmosphere. And Earth's atmosphere bends the rays of sunlight through our atmosphere so that it hits the moon. And if listeners will think about what they see when at sunrise or sunset, that the sun tends to turn orangey or red, that's because the light's passing through a lot of Earth's atmosphere. And during an eclipse, the light actually has to pass through about twice as much atmosphere as what you see at sunrise or sunset. So it turns a very deep shade of orange toward red, all the light that's hitting on the moon.
And there's another eclipse that's expected later on this month, isn't it?
You're right, there is. Unfortunately, it's not going to be visible around here.
Oh, okay.
It's a solar eclipse, and usually solar eclipses and lunar eclipses occur about 2 weeks apart. And 2 weeks from today, there's an eclipse down in the southern hemisphere that people in Australia and the lucky ones that live in Antarctica can see, but nothing for us up here.
How common is that for these eclipses to kind of bump up against each other, at least in terms of the time of the year?
It usually happens, actually, that you'll see a solar and a lunar eclipse 2 weeks apart, and then after that sequence, it'll be another 6 months before we see another eclipse.
Mm-hmm.
And the good news for us is that we will see another lunar eclipse coming up in October, and it'll be a total eclipse as well, so it should give us a good view. And there'll also be a solar eclipse that's visible at that time. It'll be a partial eclipse, so not as spectacular as a total one, but it'll still be kind of fun to watch.
Nice. And, you know, I poked my head out the window last night at about 2:15 in the morning, and I saw the moon out there. It was a nice tinge of orange. And then I saw two bright stars, but I'm sure there were planets, right nearby it. What was I seeing out there?
Well, actually, the one that looked orange, probably to the upper right of the moon, was the planet Mars, which is right now about at its closest to Earth that it's been since 2007. So it's shining really bright. Not as bright as the moon, obviously, but mm-hmm. It's pretty spectacular right now, particularly if people would look at it through a telescope. The other somewhat fainter object that was just down and to the right of the moon is the star Spica, which is the brightest star in the constellation Virgo. So that was kind of a neat experience to have those two bright objects so near the moon at the time.
The star Spica, I've never heard of that. What do we know about this particular star?
Well, it actually is pretty hot star, much hotter than the sun, and because of that it has a bluish tinge to it. Now, it's a little bit hard to tell last night because of the moon being nearby, but if you looked carefully or through binoculars, you could probably pick up a slight bluish tinge, so it contrasted pretty nicely with the orange of the moon and planet.
Mm-hmm. And what about Jupiter? Is that visible right now, too? I thought I read that it was.
Yeah, Jupiter is actually much brighter than Mars, even. And it's pretty high in the western sky after sunset. So if people go out and look, say, at 8:30 in the evening and look high in the west, it'll be the brightest object in the sky, not counting the moon, of course.
Tom from La Crosse said the moon looked really small last night to him. Was that a function of its color?
Actually, I think it's probably more a case of it being high in the sky. And it turns out that when the moon, particularly a full moon, lies near the horizon, it appears a little bit larger than it actually is because we're seeing it relative to objects along the horizon we're familiar with. And as it climbs higher in the sky, it tends to get or tends to appear smaller, even though it's not really. So probably what you are seeing is a combination of it looking small because it was pretty high in the sky, and the fact that it wasn't as bright as a typical full moon, at least during the eclipse, probably made it look a little bit smaller too.
And Rich, we're also expecting a meteor shower later in the month. What are we expecting there?
Yeah, this is a meteor shower called the Lyrid meteor shower, and that's astronomers' name for a meteor shower that appears to come from the constellation Lyra, which is high in the sky in the morning. We're going to have a peak, actually, a week from today, on the morning of April 22nd, is when it's going to be at its best. And the good news is that the moon, which was full last night, is going to be getting less and less lit as we approach the time a week from now. So it won't be in the sky as much and bothering us quite as much.
How spectacular will that be as far as meteor showers go? Is this going to be a good one?
It should be reasonably good. It's not going to be as good as usually the best of the year when you can see up to one meteor per minute sometimes. This one probably will give us about a dozen meteors every hour or so. That's a pretty good rate and much better than what we get on a normal night, but it won't be as spectacular as a couple of them that we get.
Saturn is going to come into view later this spring. Tell us when we can start to see it, and what are some of the best ways to enjoy it? Is it going to be close enough that a standard telescope will allow us to see its rings?
Yeah, if people were out last night and managed to look away from the moon and Mars and Spica a little bit, there was another fairly bright object to the upper left of those objects, and that was the planet Saturn, and it's going to be coming to its peak in the first half of May, so we're talking about a little bit less than a month from now. It's going to be at its brightest, and it is something, surprisingly, that can be seen through a small telescope. Even the smallest telescope will show the rings and give you a nice three-dimensional view of the planet. I think Saturn and the moon, to a lesser extent, are the two objects in the sky that really look like what people expect them to look like if they see them through a telescope.
What else can we look forward to? Sounds like a lot of exciting things just in terms of visibility right now, but what else are you looking forward to?
Oh, there's always stuff going on in the sky. But I would say the other thing that interests me is a little bit more esoteric. But it turns out that there are the two brightest asteroids in the sky, and asteroids are space rocks, basically, that orbit the sun between Mars and Jupiter. The two brightest ones of those are actually at their peak right this week. And although they aren't bright enough to see with the naked eye, unless you're under a very dark sky, they are bright enough to see through binoculars. And the cool thing about them is that they're very close to one another in the sky. In fact, closer than they've been since they were discovered more than 200 years ago. So it's a really spectacular close pairing of these, visible in the same binocular field if you're taking a look at them. And the thing that adds to the excitement is that there's a spacecraft that's actually in between them right now. We had the Dawn spacecraft as a NASA probe that was at the asteroid Vesta and left about a year and a half ago and is now on its way to Ceres, and it'll arrive there early next year. So we've kind of got a small spacecraft that's obviously much too small to see with any optical aid from Earth, but it's in between where the two asteroids are.
Well, Rich, thank you so much for being with us today.
I'm glad I could help.
That's Rich Talcott. He's senior editor at Astronomy Magazine.